Luke chapter 15, verses 8, 9, and 10 deals with the parable of the lost coin. And I wondered if you could just give us an overview of the parable, and then we can get started.
Well, once again, as in the parable of the lost sheep, we have 10 coins that belong to the woman here. All are in her possession. They belong to her. And then one of them gets lost, and she is very concerned about it and diligently sweeps the house until she finds it, and then she calls her neighbors together and so on to rejoice over this recovery of the coin. Taking it on a perfectly human level, this was probably a nice cache of cash. the Greek word is drachma. 10 drachmas, and the loss of one-tenth of the hoard is to be bemoaned on her part. We're thinking just simply of a human woman. So she knows it's somewhere in the house, but she's got to clean up first to make sure she can locate it and puts it back with the rest. Now, this goes along with the parable of the sheep, because here again we're talking about the fact that a believer goes astray and gets separated from the body. The
right.
Nine are in their proper place. The tenth one is somewhere it ought not to be. And so we have the same principle enunciated, that there is great concern expressed for this, and there is rejoicing when the coin is recovered. The question might be raised, what does the woman represent? And it certainly seems to me that it is likely that here we have a figure of the church. Jesus doesn't necessarily have to explain that figure to the people who are sitting at table with him, but because it's recorded here and in the light of later revelation from the New Testament, we would understand that the Christian church has the relationship of a woman to Jesus Christ.
The bride. Yeah.
The bride. So in parable number one, we have the shepherd who is concerned and goes after the sheep, and in parable number two, in my judgment, we have the church who needs to be diligently seeking for the straying member of the church. We can obviously see that if the woman does this in the proper way, the Holy Spirit, who forms the church and indwells the church, is working through her. But the image of a woman is more appropriate as an image of the church. So side by side, it seems to me, we have the concern of the shepherd and the concern of the body of Christ for the straying member.
So is the shepherd then a reference to the good shepherd of John 10? It's a reference to Jesus. So we have Jesus, the church, and then with the Father, we have God the Father?
I think so. And the church, since it is formed by and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we could say that all three persons of the Trinity are engaged here in this process, the shepherd, the Spirit, and the Father in his particular role.
Because we're baptized by the Spirit into the church, so therefore the church and the Spirit are intertwined.
And if the church does the right thing, it's because the Spirit is working through the church.
Mm-hmm. It's spiritual with a big S.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, in verse 10, we could find the same thing we found in verse 7, except in verse 7, it talked about more joy in heaven. And now in verse 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy, now we hear, in the presence of the angels of God. So whereas in verse 7, it's heaven in general, now in verse 10, it's specifically the angels, so that we're actually being told that the unfallen angels are aware of what's going on down here on earth, and they actually delight in the repentance of one who originally was part of this collection of 10 drachma and then is lost and now is brought back. So wouldn't this be another sort of a call to us to have this joy when one comes back?
Yes, I think so, and I think that's exactly right about the angels. All of Scripture, it seems to me, testifies to their involvement, the holy angels, with what is going on. And when the women find these angels in the empty tomb, you remember, they say, don't you remember he said this to you? So the angels are very aware of what's going on, and it's reasonable to think of them as rejoicing over this.
Yes. Okay, that's great. So you've got this situation where in verse 10 it says, over one sinner who repents. Now, a lot of people, when they look at that, they say, aha, dun-da-da-da, it's got to be evangelistic, got to be unbeliever, because believers aren't sinners. Believers are saints. But yet, this isn't at all saying that the person is in their sins, what it's saying is this person has sinned, and since they've sinned, they're rightly called. In other words, aren't believers rightly called sinners?
Absolutely. When they sin, they're sinners. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If I take the position I am not a sinner, absolutely or in any sense, then I'm taking an unbiblical position, and I'm not acknowledging the truth. If I say I am a sinner who is justified by grace, that would be true.
Right.
But it is not true to say that I am never in any sense whatsoever a sinner. When I sin, I'm a sinner.
So would not verse 10 then be at least a slight slam on verse 2 when the Pharisees say this man receives sinners? Well, the Pharisees themselves are sinners, and ultimately everyone is a sinner, but here it seems in verse 10 that this is someone, probably sinner, is a believer who has strayed, and so they have left the fold. In this case, they've left the, you know, if this is a piece of jewelry, which people in the Orient often carried their wealth, you know, in jewelry, even today you'll see a lot of this in India and other parts of the world where they wear a lot of gold. But here, if that's the case, then this would mean the believer who is strayed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly it.
And would it be some sort of a reference back to what they're grumbling about, do you think?
Well, the Pharisees are obviously grumbling about the fact that Jesus has anything to do with people like this, right?
Right.
And in fact, the fact that he receives them and eats with them as he's currently doing shows his basic concern for them, right?
Right.
But, however, the parables go beyond that because they say that even after people have come to him, if they behave sinfully and drift away, he is still concerned.
I got you. So you could have a person who initially was away, they repent, they come to faith, they're born again. Not that repentance is a condition to be born again, but if they do come to him and then they come to faith, they may later stray again,
right.
And if they do, they're still welcome back.
That's right. And put yourself in the place of the publicans and sinners at this meal. Okay, probably many of them were believers in him. They wouldn't have come, all of them, if they were all unbelievers. I would guess that we have a significant number of believers. So they're thinking, you know, I've come to Jesus. I'm a believer in him. I've come out of this rugged and evil life. What about if I go back into it? Will he reject me? How will he feel about me?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to these parables gives, he will feel concerned, and
that's
he will
great.
Seek your restoration.
So on top of the fact that we know if a believer strays, not only is Jesus the shepherd seeking, but the woman the church is seeking, and later we're going to have the Father seeking, but on top of that, all underlying all of this is eternal security.
Yes, right. Because these are, you know, when the shepherd comes back, he says, I found my sheep, which was lost. He wasn't my sheep for a while, but now he's my sheep again. You know?
I found Satan's goat.
Yeah, right. So, you know, this is personal property that I've lost.
Right.
And I'm happy to have it back. Same with the woman. She's an owner of this. She doesn't lose ownership when she loses the coin, right? If you're thinking of the down-to-earth application of
right.
this, she owns all 10 coins. But the one has been misplaced, and she wants to get it back where the other coins are.
That's fantastic.